In complete transparency, I have been crying a lot recently. I have cried many times about the upcoming move. I cried with Megan as we had to make a decision and tell the bishop if we would even move forward in conversation with Fort Collins. I cried as I spent a Saturday for 3 hours calling all the members of the leadership team to let them know what to expect the next morning. I certainly got teary as the announcement was made and I stood here with my family in front of you. And then in random moments as I'm just going through my day, sometimes the feelings well up and I find myself unexpectedly teary, like, where did that come from? Well, I'll tell you where it came from. It's grief. This is what grief looks like and feels like. And there are days I try to trivialize my feelings. Oh, it's not that far. Oh, you knew this day would come. You know, stuff like that, right? I try to tamp it down that way. There are other days I try to somehow balance it out, remembering that I'm going to a church that shares my values and love for serving the community, that I've been invited to serve a church where some of my biggest heroes and mentors have served, and what that means, right? And so that should just balance it all out, and my feelings shouldn't be a problem. Yeah, it doesn't work. I mean, all of those things are true. It's not that far, and it is a really awesome church, but none of it negates the love I have for all of you. And the love I have for what God is doing through you in this place. It's been hard. And by the grace of God and the wisdom of our bishop and superintendent, it got a little easier this week. You see, I was sitting on my front porch, not knowing who was going to arrive, but sitting there waiting for someone to come around the corner of the church building. And I tell you, I was elated to see my friend and colleague, Reverend Stephanie Price. After showing her the house and watching her walk into the garage to meet with the transition team, I cried again. But this time it was really refreshing to shed tears of joy, to know that things are going to be okay. You see, transitions are a part of ministry. We know this. We do this. We live this. They've always been a part of ministry. They've been a part of ministry since the very beginning. In fact, I want you to take a listen to our scripture today. It's from the opening chapter of the book of Joshua. Now, before we play it, Simon, I want to give a little shout out. Our scripture today is being read by Jack Karzian, who almost at this very moment is sitting on a stage somewhere here in Denver about to graduate from North High School. I'm really bummed. I'm a school board member. I'm supposed to be there. I was going to get to help hand him his diploma, but then they scheduled the graduation for a Sunday morning. So I'm here. But so is Jack. Thanks.
After Moses, the Lord's servant, died, the Lord spoke to Joshua, Nun's son. He was Moses' helper. My servant Moses is dead. Now get ready to cross over the Jordan with this entire people to the land that I am going to give to the Israelites. I am giving you every place where you set foot, exactly as I promised Moses. No one will be able to stand up against you during your lifetime. I will be with you in the same way I was with Moses. I won't desert you or leave you. Be brave and strong, because you are the one who will help this people take possession of the land which I pledged to give to their ancestors. Be very brave and strong as you carefully obey all of the instruction that Moses, my servant, commanded you. Don't deviate even a bit from it, either to the right or left. Then you will have success wherever you go. Never stop speaking about this instruction scroll. Recite it day and night so you can carefully obey everything written in it. Then you will accomplish your objectives and you will succeed. I've commanded you to be brave and strong, haven't I? Don't be alarmed or terrified, because the Lord your God is with you wherever you go.
When I got here, he was younger than Joey is now. I tell ya. Oh. I want to set some context for this scripture. Right here we are, the people heading back home to their land as leadership transitions. So let me set the scene a little bit in a different way. When I was in graduate school, when I was at the Island School of Theology, actually we overlapped there for a while, didn't we, Stephanie? When I was there, my field education, part of it was working in the bishop's office. I clerked for the Episcopal office, and while I was there clerking, it always irked me that there was a giant photo of the bishop. I'm talking like 2 feet by 3 feet in its frame, right next to the door. There's the bishop. And I'm like, really? I guess my problem wasn't with him. It was this tradition of giant photos, right? Like you walk up to the office, there's this giant photo of the bishop there. Blessed is the meek bishop. One day I was talking to my field ed supervisor about it, and he asked me if I'd ever taken time to glance further down the hall. Because right next to the picture of our current bishop was the previous bishop's photo. And right next to that was the one who was previous to her and the one previous to him. It actually was this giant collection all the way down the hall. For me, this was just amplifying the problem. Look how many big pictures we purchased and hung on the wall. But then my supervisor says to me, Brad, I love that every bishop has to walk past the photos of every bishop who served before them. It reminds them that the work is bigger than them and that someday they're just going to get scooted down the wall as a new photo gets hung. That's what this scripture is reminding God's people today. This opening chapter of Joshua talks about leadership and care and ministry and God's people. The scripture today in Joshua is about the mantle of service being passed. And as a pastor, I identify in multiple ways with this scripture. When I think of leaving Highlands, I connect with Moses, right? A leader who journeyed with people he loved to follow God's call. As I think of Pastor Stephanie answering God's call to lead the people where God has planned next, right? There's a Joshua moment. But then I think of Fort Collins, where I'm the Joshua. And I think of the land where Pastor Stephanie is right now. You're the Moses there, and I'm the Joshua there. I don't know. There's a lot of Joshuas and Moseses running around this time of year. I took a little time this week to look at the pastor plaques in the history room. I don't know if you know, we have a history room down the hall, and there's these beautiful plaques that have names and names and names. Mine's right there. There's a year and a dash, and soon there will be another year at the end of that dash. And I think about all of the names. These aren't just names. These are pastors who have served in this place, a documentation of all who have been appointed to serve alongside this congregation. On these plaques, you will find the names of the pastors who navigated this congregation from a barn across the street into their very first building. You're going to find the folks who, during the Depression, somehow found the effort and communal energy to build the room we're sitting in right now. On these plaques, you will find the name of the pastor who chased the KKK out of this building and out of this congregation. On these plaques, you're going to find the names of pastors who consoled people in the congregation as church members went off to the World War and then the Second World War, or to Korea or Vietnam or Iraq or Afghanistan. So many names. On these plaques, you're going to find the name of the pastor who officiated Ellie Lindstrom's wedding. On these plaques, you're going to find the name of the pastors that baptized Kathy Moore's kids and Marion Brackett's kids. Mind you, those little babies now attend here with their own grandchildren sometimes running around. Some of the pastors on these plaques preached to standing room only. Others barely had enough people in the room to pay the bills. On this list of names, you'll find the first pastor of color to serve this congregation. You'll also find the first pastor who was a woman. In fact, just before my name, you're going to find two names of the pastors who helped this congregation become reconciling as we seek to live God's love for all people. So many Moseses, so many Joshuas. But honestly, this scripture isn't about the pastors, whether they be past, present, or future. Blessed are the meek, Bradley. It's not about you. This scripture is about God and God's people. The scripture we heard read today is about Highlands. The scripture is about you. Because it is to you that God says, I will be with you. It's to you in this scripture that God says, I will not desert or leave you. It is to you that God says you will have success in all that you do. That's the invitation, isn't it? The invitation of Easter, the invitation of resurrection, the invitation of grace and life. We're invited to go out into the world. And as we do so, we hear the promise of God saying, I will go with you. The scripture is about God's promise to you. Now, I will say, God does ask for some participation. Y'all have some responsibility here, okay? God asks, carefully obey all the instruction I have given. God says, never stop speaking about what you have learned. So, a friendly reminder, it is your responsibility as God's people It's also your opportunity as God's church to live the love, acceptance, justice, and hope of Jesus in all that you do. It is your responsibility as God's people. It's your opportunity as God's church to build a home where all belong. It's your responsibility and your opportunity to live the values posted so boldly on the outside of our building. That's how we walk into the world, knowing we will be assured of our success wherever we go. Because that's what it is to be God's people, to live those values in all that we do, knowing that God has promised to be with us. That's what it is to be God's people, to welcome others, be they first-time guests, occasional attenders, every week regulars, online participants, or even pastors, that we invite these people to walk with us as we journey, to join in service to those who may never attend here, but want to participate in the values they find so attractive. This is what it is to be God's people. I don't think it's a secret that I'm a bit of a church nerd. Okay, I'm an immeasurable church nerd. My nerdiness is unmeasurable, I promise. So it probably will not surprise you that I've spent a lot of time studying every aspect of John Wesley's life. John Wesley was the founder of Methodism, and I spend so much time reading all of his stuff. It's like my happy place. And he was the one who actually encouraged pastors to move. And back in his day, it was every single year. In fact, if you look at these plaques, you'll notice it's like 82, 83, 84, 85, in 96, 98. Like, it's just every single year like clockwork. It was just the expectation. That was him along with the first Methodist bishops, Bishop Coke and Bishop Asbury. They asked congregations to not build their identity around a pastor, but instead build their identity around their relationship to God in their community. That's the invitation. Now, John Wesley and those early bishops, they knew it wasn't easy. But you see, John Wesley had an understanding of why everything would be okay even though pastors would come and go. John Wesley knew why the people called Methodist would be able to carry God's love and grace forward despite all the transition. And that belief is captured in his final words. Not his final sermon, not his final letter to someone, the literal last words he spoke as he laid dying. With his very last breath, John Wesley uttered the words, "Best of all, God is with us." Best of all, God is with us. In the face of the ultimate transition, this was his hope, this was his truth. And as we encounter our transitions in life, not just this moment, but all the transitions each and every day in all of our complex lives in this complex world, the goodbyes, the hellos, and the where do we go from here's, may those words be our hope and truth as well. That best of all, God is with us. Amen.